Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It is me, Michelle, your co-host, and I'm so thrilled to be sitting here with my mother, Barb. Excited to chat with you all this week about life and its most interesting, challenging topics. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Mom. That was like a question. Hi, are you there?
I am here, and I like that word challenging. I feel like that sums up
Life
for sure, unpredictable and challenging, and the things that we're going to delve into today in our conversation.
Yeah, this has been an interesting start to 2025. You know, we're, you know, a little more than halfway through January, and it feels like we've lived a year in these past three and a half weeks. So much is going on, so much is happening. And, you know, before we dive into the meat of today's episode, we just wanted to chat a little bit about life and the current events that we're facing, especially with the wildfires that have been, you know, absolutely devastating Southern California. We have a lot of personal ties and connections to California, so many friends. Just you and I have had a lot of personal experiences there. It's just a huge part of our lives. And, you know, I don't know if we've seen this level of devastation like this in a long, long time, as far as like a natural disaster like this. And, you know, we happen to spend the holidays in the Pacific Palisades, and, you know, left a few days before this broke out. And it's just been very surreal to watch the footage, to chat with our friends who are there, who are scared. You know, we have friends who have lost their homes, you know, seeing and thinking about the devastation for the planet, for the environment, for the animals, for people who have lost everything, for those who, you know, are uncertain about their jobs or just all of it. It's completely overwhelming while also realizing that this is just one subsect of the challenges that the world is currently facing. And so we wanted to just acknowledge this today, know that we have a lot of our community in that area, and we're here for you and with you. And I think talking about some of these complicated feelings and just being together during these difficult moments matters and is important.
It really is, Michelle, because it's, you know, we live in Florida. We've been in Florida. You were born and raised in Florida. So we're really used to natural disasters, just like probably everyone in the world is at some, as you said, at some point. We've all encountered some kind of a natural disaster as a result of the climate. And so here in Florida, we're very used to hurricanes. And Florida, South Florida in particular, the middle part of Florida, the northern part of Florida last year had horrific hurricanes over on the West Coast, going up through North Carolina, going up through Asheville. So all of that tragedy that was happening last year was heartbreaking to see the devastation. Because what happens, what I'm noticing so much is what happens during one of these events, it's the devastation of the hurricane for one that happened last year here in Florida. But then you have the domino effect. Then you have the levees breaking, like what happened in
Hurricane New Katrina. Orleans
in Hurricane Katrina, you know, or you have the bridges not working, or what happened in Baltimore when the boat hit the bridge. You have all these things that happen. Maybe if the disaster was contained or in its own right, it's still devastating. It's still horrible. But then there's always some domino effect, I feel like, that's happening with these disasters. And then now coming here to current times with what's happening in California, as you said, we've been going there for 25 years. You and I have had mother-daughter trips there for just about your whole, you know, life, starting probably from middle school onwards. Every year we would go to a mother-daughter trip out there before you went back to school. So we do have a lot of friends. We have people. So it's been really devastating again. It seems like in a very short period of time since we encountered all the hurricanes that were happening last year and all of the news and all of the world and all of this country in particular reeling from all of that. Now we're beginning 2025, you know, reeling from a horrific tragedy. And the one thing that really I'm starting to understand even more is that with a hurricane, we have notice.
Right.
But with fires, you don't. I mean, you may have a little bit of notice here and there because it's dry and they haven't had rain or whatever, but it can happen in a moment. Your house can be here 1 minute and the next minute it could be gone with the way that a fire can take, you know, take root and destroy things in its path in such a very, very short amount of time.
You know, I think that it's true, but that's just the nature of life. In an instant, everything can be different. You just never know what life will present you moment to moment. So I agree, Mom. Sorry. Yeah.
No. So I like our topic today. And I'm really happy that we just wanted to acknowledge that and that we're sending so much love as people that understand natural disasters down here because we go through them, you know, every year. We always have our heightened awareness that hurricanes could be coming our way in the summer. So we love you and we're sending all kinds of love and prayers and anyone that can do anything. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that we are on our minds and what we feel like, you know, we've had a lot of questions and a lot of comments from people in our community. So anything that anyone can do, I think matters. And it doesn't matter how small it is. Jane Goodall said, what you may think you can do is too small to matter, but it matters greatly that you do it. Mm-hmm. And I know Jane Goodall said that in her book, A Reason for Hope. And I also remember hearing Mahatma Gandhi say something similar to that, you know, many, many, many decades ago when I was reading some of his work. So it really does matter that we could show up in any way that we possibly can, and it would be enough. So if you're thinking that there's nothing you really can do, and for me in situations like this, sending prayers, sending thoughts, sending wishes, you know, signing up for a GoFundMe if you happen to come across one, and just giving a dollar, you know, just giving $5. I think sometimes we think, oh, I have to get something big because this is requiring something big. Mm-hmm. And I think today you and I are going to talk about the idea and the feelings of community and how it doesn't really require any heroic or big thing. It just requires that we can show up in any way that we possibly can so that we all feel like we're in this together and we're always here to help and support anyone who is in need, especially with this tragedy that's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
That's the word I keep using when I talk to people. It's so heartbreaking.
It is. And you know, one of the things that has shined through this tragedy and, you know, through all of the tragedies is that you can see the power of community and how much community matters in our life, in our world, and the healing and the resilience that can come through a community that cares. And we had already kind of wanted to talk about this topic anyways. And I think on the heels of and amidst what's still going on with all of these tragedies, we wanted to talk about community and just the importance of it. And I really love what you said, Mom, about sometimes we think we have to show up in these grandiose ways and make, you know, these huge differences. Even for me, as I've been watching, you know, things on social media and all of the links and the GoFundMes, and even seeing some of the people that have just, you know, organized immediately drives and things like that. I'm like, wow, how do these people do that? Like, why didn't I organize a drive? You know, like sometimes we compare ourselves of what we're doing, and all it matters is that we're doing something if we're feeling called to do so. We don't have to compare ourselves. So yeah, we're going to chat about community today and really dive into why it's so important and what it taps into as far as like this deep human desire to belong.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, Michelle. You took the words out of my mouth. That why I love this topic so much is because I believe strongly from my own personal experience as a little girl that I believe one of our greatest desires as human beings is the desire to belong.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's really what we're, you know, do we fit in? Do we matter? Are we enough? Do we belong anywhere? You know, where do I fit in the scheme of life? And I think when we can contrast this with what's happening in Southern California, it's so profound. I think that we, you know, like you said about, you know, the people doing, you know, doing all these drives, and I've seen so many beautiful things on social media about more people are coming together and giving things than ever before. And they don't even know what to do and how to categorize it because there are so many people wanting to help. And I just saw today that Japan, the country of Japan, just gave Southern California $2 million, you know, and
wow.
The Canadian Air Force and all that came down and Mexico came up, and yeah, it just feels
very lovely.
And I'm wondering if part of it is because it's at the start of a new year. It like took all of us by surprise. We're stepping into 2025, and how many of us at the end of 2024 were saying, okay, now I'm ready. I'm ready for 2025 to mm-hmm. be our best year yet. I know that was me.
Yeah.
You know, I spoke at our recent episodes about, you know, transition time from one year to the next. I'm really big on transition times, but here we are. We really hit the ground running here in 2025 with this unbelievable, unspeakable disaster. So I think it's rooted in wanting to belong. And so if we can just kind of look at, okay, I want to belong. It doesn't mean I have to create it. It doesn't mean I have to start it. It just means I have to kind of show up. And I say kind of show up. It just means I just have to be willing and be open. And, you know, you and I, Michelle, being in the self-help, self-care, mental wellness, mm-hmm. emotional wellness arena, and this is our whole work. Mental wellness is really the foundation of everything that you and I talk about and all the deep feelings that we have, that all humans have some sense of being able to have a good mental, you know, mental health, mental wellness. And so this, you know, and looking at things on social media and looking at the news, I'm just going to say right now, any of you that are struggling, and I don't mean actually in the throes of the fires or in the throes of any disaster or any heartbreaking event, wars, disasters, all of the things, famines, we have everything always going on in the world today, but it just feels heightened now that we're at a beginning of a year. It's really important to, for me, and I believe this so strongly, it's so important at this stage, just help. That's why I love Fred Rogers so much. Just be a helper. Figure out, how can I show up? And if you've been like me in my whole life, it's only been in the past 40 years that I feel like I belong. If you've been like me and you want to just feel that sense of helping and belonging, just do anything. It doesn't really matter. And be one of the helpers. Just the feeling of being a helper. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I love this quote from Nikita Valerio. People are not looking to be told to take good care of themselves and do this and do that. They're actually needing community care. Those people that are struggling in the world, and in particular here in California, since this is the most recent thing up for us in our country and personally, just want community care. You want to know that you do belong to something greater than yourself and that you're not alone and that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You may not be able to see it now, But you are not alone, and you're not going to be left behind, because the communities are rising up. Human beings are rising up to help you in whatever in whatever way is needed. And so I think it's really important now, and I say this with all humility, and I also say this with all kindness. Stop looking at social media. I think we've seen enough. Stop looking at the news, and especially turn the page or turn the channel, or don't indulge in looking at things where people are trying to figure out what went wrong and who's to blame. So I think if we want to belong to community, we really want to feel like we're doing something and want to helping. That's how I always begin, is really assessing the situation and what is needed and where could I just actually step in and do whatever little part that I can. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I have so many people saying to me, well, so many, you know, it feels like a lot, saying to me, don't you just think, Barb, that people need to just take care of themselves and have more self-care? And I'm like, of course people need to always take care of themselves and have self-care. But right now they need community care. And I love that idea of coining that, community care. Let's just let them be who they are right now in this moment, whatever it is, however they're showing up in this tragedy for themselves that are in the middle of it. And let's all of us go in and become part of that community that helps. That's a lot. I know.
No, I agree. But you didn't actually read the quote.
Oh, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Shouting self-care at people who actually need community care is how we fail people, by Nikita Valerio. And I think that's so true. You know, life is all about balance. We talk about that a lot on the show. And I think it's this instinct too, where we have to become more mindful of being hyper individualistic. We talk so often about self-care, and that is hugely important. But there are a lot of us, myself included, I am guilty of this, where I can become very isolated within my own self and just focus on myself, not in a selfish way, but, you know, I'm a little more introverted and kind of feel separated from community. And like I said, there's the balance between, yes, taking good care of yourself, filling up your own cup, but it's like, that's the second part of it. Fill up your own cup so that you can then pour into someone else's cup. And that's the other side of that coin of community care. We are all part of some sort of community, wherever we are, wherever we feel like we fit in or belong. And none of us, you know, live on an island, so to speak, where we're on our own. And I think now more than ever, with all of the, you know, natural disasters, uncertainty, fear, you know, the division amongst us, it is that community care that can try to start to bring us back together, to remind us that we're not alone and we need to rely on each other and support each other and lift each other up, you know, despite whatever else is going on. And unfortunately, not to be pessimistic, I don't think this is going to be the only tragedy we see in 2025. And so how can we take this lesson of this one, particularly to start the year, and remember that it is how community shows up that helps us get through these difficult times. It's when we, like you said, Mom, take an action or do something, even if it's small, that can mean everything to someone else who has lost everything or who feels hopeless or that they don't even know what to do or where to go. And I do think that this is the piece sometimes where the self-help, I mean, it's called self-help, so it's just self-help world gets wrong, because you have to cultivate both. And, you know, I even felt a little disconnected from the word community for a large part of my life, growing up in a, you know, divorced household, having two different homes, which is of course a privilege. But kind of splitting time made me feel like maybe I never really had roots in one particular place. And it took me a while to understand that that is where you start to build community, and that maybe because of my own circumstances, I really had to place a little bit more effort and attention into creating it for myself. And so I think we all have our own relationships with community. Some of us maybe have been burned by our communities and feel like we've been turned away. We all have our own relationship with community. And I think, what can we do today to build community, build aligned community, and actually feel inspired to support and show up for our community?
I think too, Michelle, one of the things that struck me when you were talking is that, you know, when I said that my deepest desire, and I think it's the desire of all of us human beings, is to belong. And for me, that is true. And listening to your story, and I know you were 3 years old when your dad and I got divorced. So you, in hindsight, looking back on it, you had to feel like the roots, well, where are the roots? The roots didn't really even feel there for you. And so when I think about this whole notion of humanity, I think it's really important that tragedies are here to, I mean, everything in life is here to teach us, but tragedies in particular, I like what you said, that here we are starting a new year like this. So what are we here to learn about it in terms of in this moment? Not what are we supposed to learn later? You know, what in hindsight now, what are all the things that maybe we were supposed to learn? What are we supposed to learn right now? And I think why we're talking about this subject today is because I think for me, I believe strongly, not I think, I know, we're here to learn to be here for each other in whatever capacity possible. So that means not trying to judge. That means not judging what is going on or what's happening or what isn't working. Let's just look at all of that later if necessary, but let's right now roll up our sleeves, so to speak, and sort out what can I do now to be a part of the community of helpers. And so without judging, without comparing, you know, and certainly we're not going to go, I said this in the beginning, we're certainly not going to go in there and be able to fix it by ourselves, but we can be part of the solution of fixing. And so I've been thinking about this a lot. I've been, you know, you're an empath, Michelle. So part of your introvert, I believe part of you being an introvert or trying to sort out where do I belong is that you take on the suffering so much more and at a deeper level than I do. I take on the suffering and then I can pretty quickly assess where do I want to step in? Mm-hmm. How do I want to show up? And you take longer to do that. And that's my beautiful thing. And that's why I'm bringing it up, because some of us can't react that quickly. So I'm a doer.
Yes, you are.
I assess what is it that I want to do here and I step in. So many of us can't do that right away. We need some time to digest it. We need some time. But what I'm trying to say with all of this, it's not ever helpful, I don't believe, when we're trying to get our messages or we're trying to get our marching orders, so to speak, from constantly watching social media or watching the news. Because after a while, once we know the heartbreaking tragedy of this, we already know everything we need to know. We know where we could step in. So now sit in silence with yourself. Be like you have done, Michelle. You've taken your time. You know, and you've talked about how you want to show up and what you would like to do to help. But the news and the people's commentaries on what they think is happening and what's wrong and what's this and what's that is never helpful at this point. Maybe it's helpful later. I'm not saying we disregard it all together. I'm just saying it's not helpful now, because for me, it takes my energy away. If I get sidetracked into someone else's commentary and what they think is going wrong, then my energy is there. I'm thinking about it. You know, I'm a very much of a thinking expert in the mind and the energy draining, and we don't want to drain our energy right now. We want to show up as best we can, whatever that looks like for each of us, in our lives. And I think what I love about what we're talking about today as well is that when we can start to show up as a community, when you know, if we want to belong, we want to be part of a community, it starts to become part of our nature, or it starts to become a habit. So we for me, how this all evolved for me over the past 40 years is I no longer have that dark, deep feeling that I don't belong or fit in anywhere. Because now I know that I belong to myself first. I belong to me. I know, oh, I can take in this. I can take in this. I can understand this. And then I can take an action. And then I can say, okay, Barb, this is where you want to show up. And so I'm understanding that we don't need to really wait for an invitation to belong and show up and help and be a part of a community. We can enter a community at any point. And I like this idea of finding your community, whatever that is. And it changes all the time, but we have that foundational community of family or friends or work or whatever it might be. But then our communities expand and we can start now, oh, this is, I want to show up. I want to belong here and I want to show up in any way I possibly can. I don't know if this makes any sense, but it really has helped me a lot to just remember that we are all human beings trying to do the best we can, especially in a heartbreaking tragedies. And so if we could just remember all of our humanity and show up in a way that we feel comfortable and that we can, doing the best that we can without judging, without comparing, and without trying to say that we could fix this if we were in charge or whatever it is that we're hearing, it just makes life so much better for ourselves. And as you said, we fill our cup first. For me, that's self-care. How can I start restricting the things that are not serving me and my energy so that I can have the capacity to fill myself up and then go help others or step in where I want to step in and being part of a community and belonging?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, it does for sure. And I think the interesting piece that I wanted to kind of go into now is you mentioned that your desire for belonging started to dissipate because you started to belong to yourself. And that was, you know, a huge piece for you as far as that overarching desire. And I know that kind of part of your journey towards belonging and finding community has often come from going on retreats.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice boneless chuck roast or stew meat for $6.99 a pound. Then get 2-liter bottles of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $1.49 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And you've talked about your retreats a lot. And so can you share a little bit about how that has kind of helped you? Because I do think that there is a piece here in this conversation. You know, we talk about community, but there are a lot of us who feel like we still don't belong, whether it's, you know, in our towns, in our religions, in our schools, or even in our own families. Like, you can, in your mind, know the importance, but still feel like you don't fit. And I think this piece for you, you know, taking time and space to connect with yourself and through going on a retreat or just your own personal practice, you know, connected you with yourself to then, you know, lead you on the path to belonging. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. And I believe strongly that, yeah, retreats are, you're coming together in community of like-minded people that want to, my retreats are meditation, mindfulness, self-care, retreats, practices. You know, for 40 years, I've been going on, you know, hundreds of retreats, learning to cultivate and create my own practice. And so I believe it starts with understanding that nothing can happen in our lives until we have a relationship with ourselves. And I had zero relationship with myself prior to 40 years ago. I thought that it didn't matter. And I thought the only thing that did matter was everything happening in the external world. Success, money, houses, marriage, children, cars, whatever. Whatever's happening out there in my mind prior to 40 years ago was what mattered. It didn't really matter what I thought of myself. So it's been a journey of how, you know, going, I went into treatment for bulimia, which all of you that have been listening to the show know. Mm-hmm. And it changed everything because I learned how to meditate. I learned lots and lots and lots of therapy, but I also learned how to really deeply believe that I'm with me for the rest of my life. I am with me. I can't just discard me. If I try to continue for the rest of my life discarding me, thinking that I don't matter, I don't belong, I don't need community, I'm a loner on my own ship or whatever that is, you know, I'm an island out in the Pacific or whatever that might be, I'm going to have a very tragic, lonely life because we have to feel that sense of belonging to ourselves at the very least. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't. And so it's taken, you know, my practice in the very beginning 40 years ago to start to understand I am enough. I do matter. I can show up in whatever way I feel called to show up, and it's enough. I always thought I had to be perfect. I always thought I had to show up in a way that was going to matter. Why show up at all if I'm not going to do something big or if I can't really help? Oh, you know, I started acting like a little victim. Poor me. You know, I'm not good enough to show up for anything. I'm not good enough to show up where it really counts. That is the way that I felt prior to this past 40 years. And I think some of us, sometimes we get into that mindset that we don't belong, we don't fit in, and we'll wait around until something calls us where we do fit in. And so it's like I was talking with you about this recently. It's why we wanted to talk about this even prior to what is happening, as you said, in California. It's a real fine line between what are you being called to do and when life calls you, show up in however way you can. And there's kind of a cool thing that happens, which is what kind of happened for me in the very beginning. Going into treatment, I was in community. So mm-hmm. I got thrown into the idea of community way back then.
Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. Would you say that going into treatment showed you what community actually was for the first time?
For sure, because it's not like I was working all the time. So it wasn't not like I wasn't around people all the time.
Right. More meaningful way.
Well, I had successful businesses, but everything was directed outside.
Right.
There was never a thought. I never, ever gave it a thought that, oh, do I actually have friends and do I actually have a community that I feel I belong to? Because I didn't even belong to myself. So yes, when I got into treatment and therapy and all the things and realizing, wait a minute, I can't live this life without knowing who I am, or I can't live this life without understanding that I do matter. It uncovered everything for me. So it made work a whole lot different because I felt like I have a community at work because I actually fit in because I actually know that I'm enough. I actually liked myself for the first time. No, it took a long time to actually cultivate that more and more and more and end up trusting myself and loving myself. But it's the journey that you begin, and it has to begin with just step in, because you have to step in loving and liking yourself and trusting yourself and knowing that you are enough. And so if that little bit, so that's why community is so important, because I think it's the for me, it was the entree into life. It was the entree into feeling like I'm not alone. I always thought I was alone. I never felt once prior to 40 years ago I mattered or that I was with the other people, even though I was with other people. It's a very interesting dynamic. And so I feel like I hope I haven't gotten too much off track here, because I'm so passionate about it, that you start to feel like you belong and you start to step in and you don't let the outside noise tell you what you need to do in any given tragedy, especially since we're talking about heartbreaking tragedies, where we can actually step into a community and start to learn what it feels like to be part of something that's helping humanity. I think nothing has made me feel more empowered and stronger than that. So coming out of treatment, one of the first things that I did, came out of treatment in 1984. In 1988, I founded Ronald McDonald Children's Charities of South Florida. I entered into my community of McDonald's. We'll talk about that maybe at another time. I know I've talked about it a lot on the show, but maybe we'll dedicate a whole episode to it. I entered into my community of McDonald's, and the first thing I thought, how can I help? Mm-hmm. Ronald McDonald House, helping children. This is how I can help. So I hope it's making sense. You can kind of see when you start to, the only thing I can keep saying is when you start to realize that you matter that much, what you said so beautifully, Michelle, I filled up my cup, just opening the door to the fact that I matter and that I'm enough. I started to fill my cup up. So it was overflowing with how did I want to serve and help others? Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense. So going on retreats, doing all the things, all of that has taught me, as the Buddhist Zen master said, Thich Nhat Hanh, be where your feet are. It's taught me, okay, Barb, take in all the information that I need to take in from the outside world, but the outside world isn't going to dictate to me what I deeply need to do and at what level that I need to do it. I take in all the information, then I process what action would I like to take. And so I believe it works in a way where we're not then judging. We're not caught up in all of the drama and all of the distractions of social media and the news and all of that. We're not caught up in judging and spending all of our energy having a dialogue with others and ourselves about what's true and what isn't. What we are doing is looking, okay, what does humanity need right now? Or where can I actually just step into a community and help? And that then will unfold. If you're not feeling like you belong or you're not feeling like you're part of a community, that is the entree into it. That is the entree to belonging for me, is knowing that whatever I could do in any given situation, it would be enough because I matter. My little bit and my little piece matters.
I love that you're saying that, because I do think there are a lot of us who think that whatever we have to share or give might not be enough because it's not grandiose or newsworthy or, you know, garnering the attention of lots and lots of people. Especially, you know, as we look at the things that are happening right now, you know, the heroes that are doing so much to help so many people. Like I said at the beginning of the show, sometimes we think that the small thing that we do isn't enough. And I love that you said that when we start to realize our own worth and belong within ourselves and feel like our cup is full from within, we can start to show up in other places and for other people and trust that, you know, we're showing up and doing the things that need to be done, you know, like that are right for us. Like, we all don't have to be doing the same things and making the same impact to have purpose and meaning in the world or in any sort of tragedy or just life in general or in a community. And I do think it's important to believe that and to know that, because sometimes we can block ourselves to participating in community if we don't think that, you know, our participation is worthy enough. And I've fallen victim to that belief many, many times, where like, if it's not the big thing, then it doesn't matter.
Well, and I think too, Michelle, just to interject this, back in my day, you know, 50 years ago, we didn't have all of the news and the social media like we have today. So all of this external noise. So I'm going to say it again. It was the external world that mattered to me back then. So the external world was telling, you know, it was saying, oh, society was saying, oh, Barb, you have to have a nice car. Then you'll be recognized. Then you'll be worth something. And so today, though, we can get caught up in the same noise, but amped up like 1,000,000%. Mm-hmm. So we can get caught up in the noise of what's true and what isn't true. Or we can get caught up in the noise of someone's take on, well, don't do this because they don't even need it. Or, you know, all of the misinformation that's happening in our world today. And so in our country, so we have to be our own scientists and we have to say, wait a minute, I want to show up in this particular way. I have a friend out there who is showing up and he is Michelle and I, you both, and I have a friend. He owns a hair salon and he's opened up the hair salon. Anyone that wants to come in and just, and I remember thinking, oh my gosh, and I have goosebumps saying it right now. Sometimes that's the best thing that we could do for someone is to just wash their hair and blow it out for them and say, okay, now you go get it another day. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone can participate in whatever way that they possibly can. And that's what I love so much. So, but what I believe so strongly happens today, we're becoming victims, quote, victims of all of the pressures and the noise out in the external world telling us, wait, don't do this yet. Wait, you need all the information first, or we don't know what's true and what isn't true. And I think we know how we want to show up and help, or we know what we can and cannot do. We don't need to hear all of the details. We can show up and bring all the old clothing that we have to a place that they have open there, you know, for drop-offs. We can show up and drop off, you know, $10 worth of food at the Humane Society that's taken in all these animals. Like, we don't, if we get bogged down in trying to think of what's the big thing that we can do, but can we trust or can we know that these people need help or what can we do? We need to have someone in the external world tell us on the news or in social media before we actually take a step. What I'm trying to say about all that is I think it hurts us more than anything. Mm-hmm. It hurts our insides, as you said, from the inside out, from within. We are born to help. We are born to know that we are enough. And so when we can just open up our arms and open up our hearts and say, okay, I'm going to step in because I know this is the one thing that I can do. And I think it's going to go a long way if we can actually start to live our lives this way. And we can start really relying more on what is our heart calling us to do in this moment and less on what is the external noise in the world or in the city or in the country or whatever it is telling me I need to do first before I actually take a little step, a baby step. I'm not saying make a life-altering decision or give away, you know, gazillion dollars. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying take a little step. Mm-hmm. There are so many ways that we can do just a tiny little step that helps us start to remember our own strength, to remember our own resilience, to remember that we do come from love. We do come from compassion. We do come from patience and understanding. We do care deeply about these things, more deeply than we care about who's right and who's wrong in any given tragedy or situation. And I refuse to get bogged down in who's right and who's wrong because too many things today in life have become politicized. I want to get back down to the raw feelings of humanity and what is needed of me. And how can I belong in a community that's a helper?
Mm-hmm. You know, I do really love to think about the framing of this, of like asking yourself every day, like what is needed of from me or where do I need to show up or where am I being called to ask or to act? You know, there was a period of time years ago where I had done a lot of studying of different texts and, you know, I kind of started my day every day asking myself these questions and through my studies. And I haven't practiced this in a while, but I do think it's kind of important and it has value in this conversation because I think it's through this that we can start to figure out like, you know, what little actions we might want to take. And this is from A Course in Miracles, which, you know, I have my own beliefs about it from my lens now, but these questions have always really resonated with me. Where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What would you have me say? And to who? And, you know, you can use those questions in whatever way works for you, but it's like kind of asking yourself, asking God, the universe, source, whatever you think, like, what is being asked of me right now? You know, sometimes when we create that space for answers, like it could say, oh, call this person, or, you know, go stop by there, or check out this thing online, or, you know, whatever we might not have been thinking of. My point of all of that is just, I think we also tend to overthink our participation. And sometimes in creating that space and just asking ourselves these questions, we can find the answers that we're seeking where, oh no, I'm being really called to do this right now. I want to go check out that animal rescue and see if they need volunteers, you know, whatever it might be. That's also a great way to connect with yourself and also start to understand really where you want to show up.
I love that, Michelle. And I love that Course in Miracles. I remember when you were studying that and reading that, and we talked about it a lot. Because what I hear in that is, it is so important to sit kind of in quiet for a few minutes. And what speaks up loudly is my heart. When I sit in quiet in my meditation practice, and listen, we can just sit for a few minutes. We don't have to sit for 30 minutes, 50 minutes, an hour to figure out where we are being called in our lives. And often I'm being called to show up for myself. Often, because this is where we learn where to set boundaries. The heart is constantly speaking to us. You know, our warm heart, our heart that emanates from love, is constantly speaking to us. We just have to be quiet enough to listen. And in situations like this, with belonging and community and any kind of tragedies that are happening, we just have to look, okay, not only where am I being called to show up, or what is my heart saying? Then the next question I always ask myself, can I? Mm-hmm. Can I? In what way can I? And how is it going to work? And then I find that little teeny tiny space that says, you can do this one thing, Barb. You may not be able to do it all, because my mind goes, I want to do everything.
Yeah.
I want to get the whole Humane Society with all their pets given away and funded. But it doesn't, my heart will say, Barb, one baby step at a time. Be where your feet are right now. Your feet right now are, what is one thing that I can do? So I love what you just said. What is being asked of me? And who am I to, you know, ask, or who am I to, you know, to answer to? And it all emanates from our hearts. And yeah. Yes, God, source, universe, spirit, all of those things, all of that I believe is in my heart. So that collective deeper knowing is in my heart. And so when I can actually sit with myself, but it's hard to sit with ourselves and trust our heart if we're not trusting and thinking that we are enough. I'm telling you, I promise you, from practice and knowing this about myself and knowing this about humanity, if we are not connected to ourselves first, knowing that we can trust what the heart is saying and knowing that we are enough, it's going to be really hard to step up and satisfy that longing we may have inside of ourselves of just wanting to be a helper and just wanting to belong. And I think, you know, I know we love this community. This podcast community, you all have given me so much joy, so much beauty. I love it so very, very, very much. And I believe our mission, Michelle, we've talked about this often ourselves and on the show, is to try to help all of you love, trust, and care deeply about yourselves so that you then can be part of a community of helpers and feel and not feel like you're not doing enough, or not feel like, oh, this is a waste. I'm not quite sure it matters. Just remembering what you do matters. Who you are matters. You matter. And so I just want to end with that. For me, I just feel blessed to be part of this community. I feel honored to know all of you listening to our podcast. I love you all very much, and I send so much love and prayers and thoughts and mantras and meditations and good vibes and energy to everything that's necessary to relieve the suffering. And I think I've shared this. I know that I've shared this on the show before, but one of my retreats with Thich Nhat Hanh, he ended the retreat, the week-long silent retreat. He ended the retreat with this: every day relieve the suffering of another human being.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that could be just smiling at the person at the grocery store that looks like she's having the hardest day. Or it means sending boxes of clothes or one box of clothes or one outfit to an organization in Southern California that needs clothing.
Yeah.
Or sending diapers. I have a friend out there who's collecting diapers, sending diapers, you know, to any of the babies and any of the children that need it. That's the one thing that we can do every day to just relieve a little bit of the suffering. And can you imagine in community, if all of us did just one little thing, what kind of a wonderful, beautiful world we would be.
Yeah, I love that a lot. And I think that that's a nice note to end on for this episode. You know, just to remember that we are all a part of a community and it is important for us to show up and feel like we belong in whatever spaces that we're called to. And like you said, Mom, no act or anything that we do is too small. And I really think that this year will be a year where we really learn the power of community and just how important it is to kind of show up for each other and to be there for each other no matter what. And that's exciting for me to think about the possibilities of that.
Just maybe that is the message for 2025, Michelle.
Maybe. Maybe.
I want to share one more visual.
I know.
Just one more visual. I thought of this visual and I love this. I believe I've shared it before as well, but I love it. I believe we as humans are all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we talk about that a lot. So I believe I love skiing and I've spent a lot of my adulthood in Colorado. And the aspen trees there are gorgeous. They're gorgeous in the winter. They're gorgeous in the summer. They're gorgeous all the time because aspen trees, if you know anything about them, they are all connected. Their root system is connected.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to think of myself, especially in a tragedy that's happening today in Southern California right now in this moment for us, is I'm a part of an aspen tree. I am an aspen tree and I'm a part of the roots of an aspen community.
Love that.
And so when we are part of that community already, we are doing enough. We do matter. We matter deeply to all those other aspen trees. We matter deeply to all those other humans. We matter deeply to all the beings, all the pets, all the things that we're trying to help. So, or that we care deeply about, and whatever help that we can give is never too small. So if you're ever doubting yourself, think of yourself as an aspen tree, knowing that you matter in the whole scale of the aspen root system.
I love that. I love that visual. Thanks, Mom. And thanks so much for everyone listening, for being a part of this wonderful community and creating such a wonderful space in the world and on the internet and everywhere. We are so grateful for all of you, for your presence, for your support, for the way that you show up in this community. It is very beautiful and gives us both a lot of hope. So we are grateful for all of you. And I'm grateful for you, Mom. Thank you, everyone, again, for listening week in and week out. We appreciate it so much. If you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so that you're always up to date with each new episode. If you haven't yet, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave a review. It's super helpful for us and for the growth of the show. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or want to send in a potential podcast topic request, make sure you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That's the best way to stay in touch. And we have an exciting announcement. We are hosting a retreat this year, May of 2025, at the Omega Institute. There is a link in the show notes for all of the information, everything that's going to be happening, registration, everything. There is a link in the show notes.
Please come. We are going to have so much fun.
Yes. I can't
wait to meet all of you.
It is a wonderful opportunity to be in community with all of you in person together. We're so excited for that. And lastly, there's a couple links in our show notes for our Substacks, which is another place to check out some fun things. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom. And we will chat with you all next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.